the FAA is to review the 787's design and production. 2012 is a good year for Robinson. And automation versus stick and rudder. This is Aero News for Monday, January 14, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. In light of a series of recent events, the FAA will conduct a comprehensive review of the Boeing 787 critical systems, including the design, manufacture, and assembly. The purpose of the review is to validate the work conducted during the certification process and further ensure that the aircraft meets the FAA's high level of safety. The review will be structured to provide a broader view of design, manufacturing, and assembly and will not focus exclusively on individual events. The review is expected to begin in Seattle, but may expand to other locations over the course of several months. FAA technical experts logged 200,000 hours of work during the 787's type certification and flew on numerous test flights. The FAA reviews 787 in-service events as part of its continued operational safety process. United Airlines is currently the only U.S. airline operating the 787 with 6 airplanes in service. The worldwide in-service fleet includes 50 aircraft. FAA Administrator Michael Huerta said, quote, "We are confident that the aircraft is safe, but we need to have a complete understanding of what is happening. We are conducting the review to further ensure that the aircraft meets our high safety standards." End quote. Despite a sluggish economy, 2012 has proven to be a good year for Robinson Helicopter. The company's production for the year was 517 helicopters, a 45% increase over the 2011 mark of 356 helos. As in previous years, the majority of those sales, 70%, went to foreign customers. The R-44 was the top-selling model with 286 sold. Based on the backlog of new orders, Robinson expects 2013's production numbers to surpass 2012's. The current production rate is set at 12 aircraft per week, and with its workforce numbering more than 1,300, the company is well-positioned to increase production later in the year. Founded in 1973, Robinson Helicopter Company is the world's leading manufacturer of civil helicopters. Is too much automation too much of a good thing? The FAA seems to think so. A recent FAA analysis of flight operations data, including normal flight operations, incidents, and accidents, has identified an increase in manual handling errors. The FAA believes maintaining and improving the knowledge and skills for manual flight operations is necessary for safe flight operations, and has issued a safety alert for operators, a SAFO, encouraging operators to promote manual flight operations when appropriate. According to the SAFO, modern aircraft are commonly operated using autoflight systems, e.g. the autopilot or autothrottle, autothrust, and according to the SAFO again, unfortunately, continuous use of those systems does not reinforce a pilot's knowledge and skills in manual flight operations. Autoflight systems are useful tools for pilots and have improved safety and workload management, and thus enabled more precise operations. However, continuous use of autoflight systems could lead to a degradation of the pilot's ability to quickly recover the aircraft from an undesired state. Operators are therefore encouraged to take an integrated approach by incorporating emphasis on manual flight operations into both line operations and training. Operational policies should be developed or reviewed to ensure there are appropriate opportunities for pilots to exercise their manual flying skills. In other words, don't get so used to the iPad that you forget how to fly with the stick and rudders. A group of bondholders carrying some $2 million in debt for American Airlines and AMR Corporation is getting involved in the decision about the airline's potential for a merger with U.S. Airways Group. The bondholders have signed non-disclosure agreements with the airline so that they can examine relevant documents to be included in discussions about whether the airline should merge with the Arizona-based airline or emerge from bankruptcy as a standalone carrier. The bondholders were given standing in the proceedings because the amount they have invested in American makes them an important subset of a group that also includes unions and suppliers. The Wall Street Journal reports that the size of their holdings could give them the clout to block any path out of bankruptcy with which they disagree. Bringing the bondholders into the mix could be a signal that the company is set to emerge from bankruptcy fairly soon, though no date has been mentioned. U.S. Airways, of course, has made no secret of its desire to merge with American, which would create the country's largest airline in terms of traffic. United Continental Holdings currently holds that distinction. A multi-year NASA airborne science mission is on its way to California to help scientists better understand how to measure and forecast air quality globally from space. Two NASA aircraft equipped with scientific instruments will fly over the San Joaquin Valley between Bakersfield and Fresno in January and February to measure air pollution. One aircraft will fly within 1,000 feet of the ground. The aircraft are part of NASA's five-year Discover AQ study, which stands for, now take notes, deriving information on surface conditions from column and vertically resolved observations relevant to air quality. Huh? Its researchers are working to improve the ability of satellites to consistently observe air quality in the lowest part of the atmosphere. If scientists could better observe pollution from space, they would be able to make better air quality forecasts and more accurately determine where pollution is coming from. A fundamental challenge for space-based instruments monitoring air quality is to distinguish between pollution that is high in the atmosphere and pollution near the surface, down where you and I live. Discover AQ will make measurements from aircraft in combination with ground-based monitoring sites to help scientists better understand how to observe ground-level pollution from space. So if I understand this correctly, instead of doing something to stop the pollution, we're going to make it easier for scientists to watch it from further away. When Aero News continues, it's not the Hatfields and McCoys, but Virgin Galactic is ready to pay the rent, and this snake was in no movie.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Monday, January 14th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A federal court in Alabama has determined that Jason Allen McKay does not need to spend time in jail for shooting at a restored 1943 Stearman biplane that was flying over his house last June. McKay pleaded guilty to firing at the airplane owned and restored by Fred Campbell, an 81-year-old neighbor who built and operates a private airstrip across the street from McKay's house in Hayden, Alabama. Television station WBRC reports that the judge in the case agreed with McKay's attorney that prison time was not appropriate for the crime. Along with probation, McKay will have a felony conviction on his record, which will prevent him from owning firearms and ammunition in the future. The judge also said if his probation officer deemed it necessary, McKay would have to undergo therapy for anger management. Campbell and Joe Daly were in the Stearman when McKay fired on it while they were on final for the nearby airfield. Neither was injured or even aware they'd been shot at, but Daly said it could have been a much different situation. Well, Virgin Galactic is reportedly set to begin lease payments this month on Spaceport America in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The state of New Mexico said that the commercial space company will begin accruing rent on January the 15th. Sir Richard Branson's company will pay $85,833 per month, according to a report appearing in the Las Cruces Sun News. That amount includes $1 million per year for use of facilities and about $30,000 for the land. But starting to pay the rent does not mean that Virgin Galactic will be in New Mexico for the long term. Breaking the lease would cost the company between $500,000 and $2 million, depending on the situation, according to the lease agreement. And the company has already said publicly that other sites could be considered. While the terminal building, which has been named the Virgin Galactic Gateway to Space, was awarded a certificate of occupancy in November of last year, Christine Anderson, the executive director of the spaceport, said that there is still a punch list of small items that need to be completed, but the CO triggered the clock on rental payments, which under the agreement between Virgin Galactic and the state were to begin 60 days after it was awarded. Still unfinished is a promised southern road into the facility, which has been slowed by the discovery of 31 archaeological sites and a buried utility cable that still has to be dealt with, as well as concerns by local ranchers along its 23-mile length. Those issues have forced the authority to go back to the legislature and seek an additional $3 million for the road project, which is coming very late in the facility's construction. Additional funding for the road is not a sure bet, as Governor Susan Martinez has said in the past that the state has already spent enough money on Spaceport America. It was a case of life imitating Hollywood recently, as a 12-foot-long scrub python hitched a ride on a Qantas flight from Cairns in Australia's state of Queensland to Papua New Guinea. A woman on board the flight first noticed the tail of the snake out her window, according to a report in the Sydney Morning Herald. A representative of an airline mechanics association said it had likely crawled up into one of the airplane's wheel wells to stay warm, and that the wind must have pulled it straight out as the flight commenced. Passengers watched through the entire flight as the reptile continuously tried to work its way back into a protected area near the airplane's flap assembly, but was blown back out into view. The reptile was still moving when the plane landed, despite its ordeal. Herpetologist, and I'm assuming that's some sort of snake scientist, says the cold-blooded nature of the reptile may have allowed it to survive in flight, but it was likely not so lucky when it arrived at its unintended destination. You see, the paper reports that passengers on the plane say it was probably destroyed by quarantine officials in Papua New Guinea as an invasive species. I'm betting that snake wishes now he just crawled up under a warm rock. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.